This is a podcast about two sisters raised in an effed up family. My name is Christine. I am Jesse's older sister. I was raised by a gaslighting, manipulative mother who raised me to believe people either rejected you or weren't rejecting you. My father was a crazy, racist, vulgar alcoholic who was in and out of my life.
And my name is Jesse. I'm Christine's little sister. I was raised solely by the crazy, racist father who raised me to believe I had to earn or buy someone's love.
Hello to all of our Family Burrito listeners out there whose drugged out alcoholic father loved 80s music because he, quote, couldn't remember shit from the 80s. Welcome back to the Family Burrito podcast, episode 31. My name is Christine. My sister Jessie and I created this podcast as a way to heal our coked out in the 80s father wounds. Jessie!
Hey!
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm tired. Oh, Lord have mercy. I've been a busy little bee, but I want to hear about you first, and your birthday's around the corner, too. What have you been up to this week?
Damn, I'm like a broken record. School and work.
Uh-huh, and cleaning, yeah. And Target and Costco.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even had the chance to go there.
Yeah.
And I've also been so busy.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, you're like, so are you going to be a well, like, I know you said why you're doing, are you going to make that like your career profession?
Yeah, I want to like build stuff. So I want to be a fabricator.
Oh, what's a fabricator?
So there's a show on Netflix. First, I'm going to recommend watching that for anybody that's interested in welding. It's called Metal Workshop Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just learn like the basic stuff about welders and what they do most of the time. But so I want to have the ability myself to be able to plasma cut stuff to where I'm like almost a human CNC machine. CNC, and CNC just basically is a computer that will like cut, use a plasma cutter, and the math from the computer that you put in it, you know, you have to know a little bit of math, and then it'll cut it for you. So I want to be like a human machine basically in the end, and then I'd really like to express myself artistically with it, because I can't draw really well. So I figure if I can like kind of put an idea on paper and then try to weld it, I'll be better off.
That's so cool. I love that, Jesse. I mean, half of the words you use, I don't know the jargon, the welding jargon, but it sounds like, I just think it's so badass. You being a female, like, man. And actually yesterday my man and I were at my aunt and uncle's house, and my uncle is, oh my gosh, he is one of the smartest people I know. He's like computer tech guy. I mean, he just can fix anything. He just is super smart. But he's into like hot rods or whatever. He has a Pontiac GTO that he restored, and he has this huge shop. They live on like 13 acres of land, and he has this huge shop. I was so impressed. I mean, not only did they have their house, he has this auto shop, and my man and I were like going around it and touring it. And he lifted the car up, and we were underneath the car. And my man was like, telling my uncle Robert that, you know, you were in welding school, and he was super impressed, Jesse.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, because he builds stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see his shop too, because that's my goal, is to have a bunch of land and like have my own shop on that land. I think that's every welder's goal.
Really?
Yeah. Most welders want to have their own like fabrication shop. Yeah. It's a goal of many of ours. But you'll also like, it's kind of funny. Most people that get into welding are kind of douchebags. Like, I'm no offense to anybody. This is just like a kind of a diss on me, because I'm realizing it. Because we start getting cocky about the things we're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, bitch, sit down and be humble kind of moment. Like, mm-hmm. don't get too cocky. But yeah, like those, the people that are really good, though, like, you're almost like, you have a right to be cocky. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're so amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally get that. I mean, it's just like with in the medical field, like I mean, to me, I mean, just in my experience, like the people who say they're the best are actually the scariest people, because they're not learning and growing. And the thing is, you know, you never want to stay stagnant. You want to always keep asking questions, because there's just so much to learn about. I mean, nothing ever stops, right?
Right. Yeah. And I, you know me, I'll never stop. I'm never going to be like, I'm the best
Yeah,
or
right.
anything like that. I'm just going to try to be the most humble person I can be, because once you act a certain way, man, the universe loves to kick your ass. It's like, oh, really? Well, how about if you lose an arm? Are you still the best? Well, fuck you, universe.
Yeah, it'll keep giving you that same lesson over and over until you get it.
You, oh, I know. Oh goodness, do I know?
Yeah,
That's why
yeah.
I'm just like, I need to like chill out a lot of the times when I'm driving. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna come back and bite me in the ass one day.
Oh Lord, is something going on? Was it something happened this week with driving?
No, just in general. Like, you know what I mean? I've calmed down a lot since, but like, no, nobody's pissed me off lately.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. You deserve
Yeah.
peaceful drives
I have pissed people off.
this week.
Yes, they have
Really?
flipped me off, and but I'm just like, whatever.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I've never been flipped off before. That's funny.
Really? Maybe you just haven't seen
Maybe, maybe
it.
not,
Because you've
you
probably been
know.
flipped off. You've been
Yeah.
driving for a long, like, not to like call you old or anything, because I, you know.
Watch your next words. Be very
But you've
careful.
been
What?
driving since like the 80s.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, when I was not, didn't even have a license, sneaking out my mom's car.
I
Shout out
know.
to Sherry.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, that's funny. I remember when you did start to drive, like, well, I was really young, but I remember when you started driving. That was fun, because you'd
Yeah.
always take me to like Jack in the Box and stuff.
Right, because I was stoned.
That was so cool.
Yeah, that was right before all my panic attacks. But yeah, oh, that's weird. I just remembered, just had a memory pop up about when I was kind of the one of the last few times I ever did LSD, and I was supposed to take you to school, and I'd been tripping balls all night, and I was still tripping, and I was having a bad trip. And I remember like brushing your hair, getting you ready, and I was freaking out because we were looking in the mirror, and I kept thinking, "Oh my God, look, we look so weird." And it was just like going on, you know. And you were, I think you were picking up on something for me, because you were like, you know. And I mean, I don't know. So, but somehow you got to school. I apologize, Jesse. I
I
just
don't
remember
remember
that.
that, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, you're poor. You, oh, man, was anybody ever sober around you growing up? Anyone? Anyone?
You know,
No,
I
no.
loved my childhood.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a badass childhood. Even though
Really?
like I had like a lot of fucked up moments, though, like, yeah. How many kids can say that like their dad passed, like their dad's friend accidentally passed them a joint? Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I feel like in my past life, I was probably like a prostitute or something. I don't know why.
And in this current one too.
Yeah, current prostitute and past prostitute. But no,
Yeah.
seriously though, like in my past life, I would like wonder what I was, and I'm like, man, like I was probably like one of those really like I was probably one of those people that never like did anything. You know what I mean? Like I never chose a side. I never like. You know what I mean? I don't know. I didn't collect really bad karma, but I didn't really collect good either.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. Earlier today I did a podcast recording on with my friend and human design coach, Marielle Hantz, and we did it over the profile lines, and because there's so much to human design, it's hashtag can be very complicated. I mean, anyways, but we all have a profile lines. We all have two. One is conscious and one is subconscious. And the conscious one is something you're aware of, and the subconscious one is that everyone else is aware of. So, like for me, example, I am a 6-2, which is called a role model hermit, meaning I'm conscious of that. I love to share things, advice, and be a leader and things like that. Share my experiences. And the subconscious is the hermit part, where I am, it's quiet, I'm journaling, you know, I need alone time. And I mean, now I definitely recognize that myself, and I know that's exactly that. I have to have the hermit part to get conclusions and find my gifts so then I can flip over to the conscious role model part and share them with others. Like, and for you example, you're a 4-6, which the number 4 is your conscious part, and that means you are deeply connected. It's very important for you to have connections. Okay. And so deep connections, like friends, like quality, no, quantity over quantity. So it's not, you're not going to have a huge group circle of friends. You just need your close, like really get, but it's important for you for in these friends that they are, you have meaningful conversations, deep conversations. But on the flip side of that is that it can take a lot out of you whenever you're having, you have to, it's so funny. You have to have these deep connections, but it wears you the fuck out.
Right. Yeah.
So fascinating. And then your subconscious part, which is your 6, which is same as me, but mine's conscious, is the role model part. And that's where you share your leader gifts and things like that. So anyways, I was talking to her about our father. He is a 4-1. And this is one of the rarest profile lines, by the way. And it was like just one of the rarest profile lines. And it's a fixed line. It doesn't have any, there's no, it doesn't change. It does. There's no learning lesson. It's just fixed in its ways. And they actually call it the bonus life, meaning in human design, it's like you have settled all your karma and all your lives, and this is just the bonus life. And I was
that makes a lot of sense.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have this bonus life and then you're done. And then I was like, well, I don't know if we've discussed this or not, because this is pretty woo-woo. But, you know, I had this feeling from just based on all this experiences after he died, you know, my house being haunted and just all the stuff that happened and, you know, the dreams I had about him and all these messages, signs, you could say, is that I'm like, he's a freaking gatekeeper now. He's a gatekeeper. He's a protector. It's at night is what he does. And I've started to see this pattern also in like men, like single men who had like an alcohol problem or drug problem, and they die in such a sad, lonely way. And then I'm like, they turn into gatekeepers, like Evan, my cousin Sean, you know. So I don't know. It's like this weird, I don't know if it's true, but it's just this thing that gatekeepers. And if you ever look up gatekeepers in like the spiritual world, it's pretty, pretty fascinating, because what they do is they are basically monitoring who's trying to get in your life and out of your life, you know? So like evil entities or whatever, you know, or good ones, you know, and they're gatekeepers and monitors. So anyways, I was like, that is just so fascinating. So yeah. So I've been super duper busy. Of course, you know, working back full time in mental health nurse practitioner world, loving that. Loving that I'm able to talk to clients and help them see things in different ways and not just want medication, want to, you know, have deep work and things like that. So doing that, and then I've been doing so many recordings and podcast stuff, because, you know, I really can only do it now from Friday to Sunday. So today's been crazy. Starting from Friday night, I recorded with Arlene Bolden. She is the podcast host of The Path. And I was recently on her podcast, and our second episode just was released on her podcast, The Path. And I had her on my show, and we did a video podcast, and it was super, super cool, because I just met her, and she's this African-American woman who is from Atlanta, Georgia, who reached out to me to hear my story, my coronavirus story, you know, because I have the podcast, How Coronavirus Saved My Life, and more into wondering about what it was like being raised by a racist father and how that impacted me. And so at first, when she reached out to me on Instagram, I was like dumbfounded as to why this African-American woman from Atlanta would care about my ugly racist family. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. Not my ugly
ATL
family.
ATL baby. That's awesome.
Yeah. Not my ugly family, but the ugly side of the racism in my family.
I also just love Georgia. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyways, so I had her on, and she's very similar to me where she's direct, transparent. This is the crap I've been through. This is my accountability, you know, and just we're very, very similar. So that was cool. Right now I'm working on getting that video published right now. And so, and then I recorded, oh, and then Saturday, well, then today I recorded the human design stuff. We're recording right now. And then in a couple hours, I'm recording with Melissa Lorena, who was a business coach, a writer for Forbes magazine and all this stuff, who I did this, I think it was 6-week course or 8-week course with her. She's like a business coach. She's a million things, but business coach. And she really helped me. It's interesting because right before I met her, I was like, I need someone to help me figure out what I'm doing. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I'm on social media. I'm creating all this stuff, you know, and I went, stepped down my hours, and here she comes. And she actually showed me a lot of things. And I can't wait for people to see. We're going to be recording tonight, and I'm going to be discussing, you know, my time with her and the things I learned. And it's super surprising, actually. So doing that, and then Saturday was super busy. My man is getting ready to put his house on the market, and so he's cleaning and moving stuff and things like that. But he was putting his boat in my garage, so I had to clean out the garage. It really wasn't that bad, but it was just hot and humid. And then he got here, and we got his boat in the garage, and then we went to my aunt and uncle's, which was like an hour away, and we went swimming. It was nice. Then we could relax. And so
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I went swimming, and they have a beautiful property. You'll have to come out there next time you're in town. You'll love it. And then we came back home, and, you know, I'm not going to tell the rest of that story because I'm tired. let me just put it this way. All my chakras are aligned. Okay. Sorry, is they gonna drink of water? So anyways, then he left this morning, and I've just been super busy doing stuff. So yeah, I'm tired, Jesse.
I feel that. Yeah.
You know, so did Dad play a lot of 80s music for you?
He played anywhere from Rush Limbaugh.
Oh Lord.
That was like the main thing we listened to was Rush Limbaugh. That's why I'm
like
so
on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like every day?
Most, yeah.
Oh my God, Jesse, that is so awful for your subconscious.
But hey, I understand the crazy. I think that's why I can just, I'm like, okay, I understand the crazy. Like, do I agree with the crazy?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Alex Jones, I don't, but I understand it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that is, oh my God, Jesse, that's crazy. We are so connected. I love it. Because the other day Sophia's in day camp right now. And this day camp that she goes to is the same one I went to the same one I went to when I was her age.
That's
and
crazy.
Younger and with my stepsister. And I mean, I have pictures and it still looks the same. And ironically, it's next to a prison. I don't remember the prison being next to it. But anyways, but this camp is right around the corner from the very first house I lived in with my mother and our father.
Wow.
And so I've been driving in this neighborhood for the past week. Nothing's an accident, right? And I was like, I cannot believe this. There's a reason for it. And I actually drove by the house. And it looks, you know, like people didn't take care of it. You know, it's actually kind of a cute neighborhood, but the way the house looked, it looks terrible now. But I mean, you can't even read the address numbers. They're just all worn off. But anyways, but I had this epiphany the other day that I had to grow up with a racist father. I had to grow up in that. I had to see injustice all the time growing up because that is what has led me to my path now, is finding solutions to injustice. I had to have that experience of having a crazy racist father. So I'm driving and I was like, I am so grateful my dad was racist. You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the thing, like, you can either grow from your experiences or you can, like, let them weigh you down
mm-hmm.
and make you a shitty ass person. you know. But yeah, I have to cough. Hold on, sorry. my throat had a tickle.
Yeah,
my throat had a dick in it.
Lord,
good Lord. But anyway, the funny thing is about Rush Limbaugh, though. You know, the only thing that really sticks with me as a memory of listening to him was in, like, it was during Christmas time, and it was like about saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, and he was like, "Fuck those liberals! I'm gonna say Merry Christmas because I'm Christian." And da da da. I just remember Dad being like, "Yeah, that's right," and I'm like,
"Oh God." Like, oh, you're really... Did he even go to church? Was he even going to church, you know?
No, not yet. No, Dad didn't start going to church until, like, I left. Because I have a lot of opinions about that one. But when we know we're going to die and death is, like, inevitable and we start getting older, we start to, like, make a connection with the higher beings, I think. Like, please have mercy on my dumbass. Dude, you should be saying that every damn day. But he just, I don't know, he's such a fucking hypocrite.
Right. I know. It's I remember, or I think it was our first podcast episode where he was saying something, you like, you know, you don't want to do that because you don't want people to think X, Y, and Z, which I'm like, the way he lived his life, he didn't care what anyone thought. He it's just so strange to me. Like, It is a contradiction.
He is worse than Al Gore.
I don't even know. No. So you cracked me up. My brain just went, huh? Like, it just, like, went to a complete stop because you said Al Gore, and I'm like,
well, what? You can't really offend anybody with Al Gore anymore. So,
well, I don't. Is Al Gore?
Because he's a fucking flip flop. He was a flip flop motherfucker. You know, because, like, according to Al Gore, we should all be underwater right now. You know.
Because of the climate?
Yeah. I'm not denying climate change. I'm just saying that, like, way to freak everybody out, dude.
Well, here's the thing. If it's coming from a politician's mouth, they have an agenda. They're making money off of something. And it's also, part of it is creating fear. So you'll buy whatever the thing that they're selling.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then, like, I just want people to, you know, have a solution to the problem and saying, oh, that solution's dumb, and but not having a solution to the problem.
Right.
I made a post about this on Facebook today. I was
oh,
like,
you did?
Yeah, because I'm just sick and tired of motherfuckers saying that's dumb but not having a solution.
Right.
To, like, okay, well, it might be dumb, but what's your
solution?
What's your dumb solution?
Yeah. And if you don't have one, how are you gonna figure one out, or are you gonna, yeah, that's the thing. That is you're exactly right. Like, that is, I don't want to say low IQ, but it's just so, it's boring, right? There's nothing to it. Oh,
there's no original thought.
There is no original thought. You're just making an opinion. You're just doing a reaction, which anybody can do in 2 seconds. You're not special, you know?
Like, you know, there's this post, I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I just want to get out before I forget. But, like, there was this post and it was like, I don't think teachers should have guns or whatever. And then I was like, a rebuttal to that. Okay, not all teachers should have guns, but what about the ones that have the training and, like, the license to conceal carry and are willing to do so? Should that not be a thing in America? Like, is that not an option? But because it involves a gun,
yeah,
no, it's not. And I'm like, okay, well, drugs are illegal. And you know how many teenagers die from fentanyl? 77% of them died from a fentanyl overdose. And a lot, like, in teenage deaths, I just looked it up on NPR. Because I wanted to get my facts right before I said this shit. 77% of teenage deaths were from fentanyl.
Like, in the U.S.?
In the United States. And guess what? The government is like, they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about your kids. They don't give a fuck about your schools. Like, you have to protect your own community. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, a solution is to get with your school and PTA and, like, everybody else and, like, create a solution for your school and that school. Like, don't wait around for the government to come up with a solution.
Well, and that's the thing. So here I go back to the original. Why are teenagers using fentanyl? Why are they using drugs? What happened? So we had a pandemic, right? So they were probably, this is my thought, they're probably isolated, depressed, right? Because being a teenager, it is so important to have your friends and that. So this huge thing in their life was gone. Without any warning, it was gone. And nobody been through this kind of shit, you know?
Right.
And so, and you could, and there was laws, like you couldn't do stuff. So this huge, most important thing in their life was gone. And so my thought is, I'm assuming they turned to drugs because they were depressed or self-medicating or what, I mean, who knows? But I will say, Jesse, you, I don't know if it's 77% or whatever, but I will say here in Tarrant County, you know, whenever the pandemic stuff started, I remember I was going on the medical examiner website because it's free in Tarrant County to see how people die. It's not private knowledge. It's totally free. It's
right.
On the website. And I was looking on there because at the time of the unit, you know, we had the first outbreak and, you know, there was all this like, oh, they're hiding COVID deaths and things like that. So I was looking on the medical examiner website just to see kind of like what they were putting as people's death, what cause of death, you know, they weren't putting COVID. And so there were things like, you know, cause unknown. But what caught my eye, Jesse, was fentanyl overdose deaths.
Was it a lot?
Yep. A lot. Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, okay, how accurate are the reportings, right? Like you said, mm-hmm. Knows, right? And then, but yeah, no, that's just according to NPR, like how mm-hmm. much ever you want to trust NPR, right?
Yeah.
I think they're pretty decent at telling the truth.
Well, yeah, and they probably pulled their source from somewhere. I mean, pulled their information from a database or something. Maybe.
Right. That's usually how they work. Yeah, like NPR is pretty good about being correct.
Yeah, well, and they're not biased, right? They're the one of the few that aren't biased.
Reuters is more less biased, but NPR, like if you're listening to them on the radio, mm-hmm. they can get biased because it's a human talking.
Yeah,
but like if you're reading the article, they typically will just give you information.
Yeah, and also too, one thing that's super important is if you're reading an article, of course if it's from a media site, but something that's spitting out statistics, you know, about something like that, because that's like pretty crazy and dramatic. You want to also look like in the article, you know, in the fine little print, like who was sourcing, who was paying for this research,
right?
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Because like, yeah. You know, the whole e-cig thing, like, oh, e-cigs are bad, and if you look, you know, Marvel right. Company was paying for that. You know, they right. had an agenda, right? So who's got an agenda?
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing too. With when it comes to teenage deaths and stuff, though, I don't think anybody cares enough to have an agenda. Because if the government cared about kids, they, when Columbine happened, they would have changed the way schools were locked down and forever. Because it took one day for 9/11 to happen, mm-hmm. and air security changed forever. So, like, another solution: move schools to airports. Because mm-hmm. they're not going to, like, load down the schools with the security they need to actually spend the money. But they're going to spend money on, like, missiles that don't work in Alaska. George W. Bush did that. Mm-hmm. And we're still paying, like, I think it's, like, $2 million a year for a missile that doesn't work in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just dumb. Like, we just piss away money in this country on the dumbest shit.
Right.
And I'm just like, and it's not even about, like, cutting down the military budget. I'm just like, look at the budget and what you can cut down.
Well, and my thing is, look at the shooters. What, why are these kids? Because it's usually
mental health issues.
Right, right, yeah. right. And also the kids that overdose. Like, that's where you start, because whatever the thing happened that led to that, like there was, you know, the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken, you know?
Internet bullying. It's just explaining to kids that the sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me type thing, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. That's real facts, bro. Like, you can move on from words.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be attached to anybody's thought to you, as a thought of you. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had people my whole life tell me I'm something, you know, like I was called crazy white girl in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it was, but I'm not gonna be attached to that. As far as like, oh man, they made fun of me because
right.
I have anger issues, or you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not even like, mm-hmm. no, bitch, you're crazy.
You're loco.
You know, so I think that like it comes with a lot of like, how often are the parents in this kid's life too?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I mean, people look at me like, you know, some of our family, they're like, man, I don't know how you did it. I would have. I would have been on drugs. I would have been a stripper.
Right.
That. I'm like, I just lived my life, and well, marijuana has helped.
Yeah. Yes.
Because now I just like giggle at all the dumb shit.
Yeah. 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 Have you ever done fentanyl?
No.
Yeah. Because they're like shooting it up, right? Like instead of, it's the new heroin, right?
So you can, I think you can like smoke it, shoot it up. I think there's a lot of way. I think that you can put it in pills. Like, I don't know much about that drug because I don't really care. Like, I don't really care about it, but I just know that it's a leading cause, and it's becoming more of a leading cause of overdoses.
This would be a really good topic on like a live event or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, you like, if they're, you know, there's also drug experts out there that probably know a lot more.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. And like in the part of the hospital, we, on the medical side, we can prescribe, start people on Suboxone for their opiate withdrawal dependent stuff. And so I'm kind of into that world now. So I'm kind of getting more into the opiate thing. So I'm going to keep my ear to the ground and ask around about, you know, these teenagers that are overdosing on fentanyl and dying. I mean, that's just, that's super sad.
Yeah, it is really freaking sad. But, you know, again, just to end my rant, you know, it's more or less like, if you don't have any fucking thing nice to say, then just shut your fucking mouth type thing.
Yeah.
And I'm cussing because it's like, I'm like that, I'm like that irritated by it because I just keep seeing it. And I'm like, are we all that freaking naive that we're just, we're oblivious to our dumbass?
Like how I don't know. Maybe we're just all coked out like our dad was in the 80s, girl. Well, that's all I know, Jesse. I love you so much. Happy birthday's coming up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later, girl.
All right.